Hi, everybody. Good evening. Welcome to the broadcast. It's August 14th, 2018, and tonight's Evoke Therapy program broadcast is about coming out. This was actually suggested to me by a parent when I was visiting last week in New York City, and somebody had shared that it was something that one of her friends had struggled with, and so I thought to myself, of all the broadcasts I've ever done, it's hard for me to believe that I haven't done this one. And I want to start off on a personal note with a couple of things and say, first of all, I've made a lot of mistakes that I'm going to talk about tonight when clients have come out to me in years past. And while I was ignorant, I thought I was well-intended, I stumbled through the experience for a lot of our clients. And some of them have even reached out to me years later. And for those who have reached out, those who I hurt and didn't know, I want to say I'm sorry. And as I progress in my career and my life experience, I've become educated and become aware of the ways that we can hurt people who are taking the courageous step to express their truth, their authentic self. And I want to share one other personal experience. And while I made a lot of progress professionally in my life and dealing with clients, when this hit home with me, when my child, who's now 16, came out as an LGBTQ youth, my initial response was less than ideal there, too. I was quick to correct it, but my initial response was it didn't resonate with me. I was doubting. I think I made a joke about it, and luckily, my at the time 13-year-old was assertive enough to say to me, "Hey, Dad, that's not okay. This is who I am, and you're making fun of that." And had to pull back really quick and take a moment and pause. And so while on paper, I think it's really easy, or it's been easier, to understand how to support people coming out of the closet, when it hits home, it can be challenging. And I offer that as a point of humility and of empathy for other parents who have had or will have to deal with this sometime in their life. The first part of tonight's broadcast, I'm going to borrow from a TED Talk that I listened to years ago. I have the link here on the screen. If you're not watching the broadcast and you're listening to it, then you can just Google Ash Beckham and coming out, and you'll find the TED Talk. And it's a fascinating perspective. It's a fascinating talk about her experience about coming out as lesbian and kind of the stages that she went through, and even understanding other people's limitations and how they received her in this process. And I'm going to start from her perspective, from the perspective of somebody who's coming out, and then I'm going to go in the second half of the broadcast to talk about what we can do as parents and what to avoid as parents, and some resources for parents if this is our child and our family's truth. Ash talks about, first of all, this idea that heart is heart. I love this idea. And this is what she says. She said, "Sure, I can give you 100 reasons why coming out of my closet was harder than coming out of yours. But here's the thing, hard is not relative, hard is hard. Who can tell me that explaining to someone that you've just declared bankruptcy is harder than telling someone you just cheated on them? Who can tell me that his coming out story is harder than telling your 5-year-old that you're getting a divorce? There is no harder, there's just hard. We need to stop ranking our hard against everybody else's hard to make us feel better or worse about our closet and just commiserate on the fact that we all have heart." I love this. Gives me chills to read it on so many levels. And first and foremost, I think it invites parents to explore the idea of what is their closet, what is their truth that they have found difficult to explore. And maybe that goes back to their own childhood. Maybe there's a part of yourself, a part of your story that you didn't feel safe, didn't feel would be welcome, that even to this day, you might have had a hard time expressing. I know for me, while being LGBTQ is not my story, I know that I've had my own heart. And interestingly, not knowing it when I signed up, my therapist is a transgender individual. And I didn't know that for 7 or 8 years into our relationship, where I was the client and she was the therapist. And so to this day, when I'm struggling with finding and expressing my truth, telling the truth in my life, whatever it is, she'll often chuckle and say, you know, yeah, I don't know what it's like to have to hide part of yourself to find acceptance. And so that's a place that we can all join and connect to, connect on. That we all have closets, we all have experiences where it's hard to speak our truth. She talks about these guidelines, Ash Beckham does, for coming out. Number one, she says, be authentic. Take the armor off and be yourself. That kid, referring to an earlier part in her talk, that kid in the cafe had no armor, but I was ready for battle. Stupid hypothalamus, she says. If you want somebody to be real with you, they need to know that you bleed too. And while, again, we're talking about closets, I had a client say to me, it's almost magic when you take off your armor and your children respond with more openness and more vulnerability. But so many of us find it so difficult to take off our armor, thinking that our children are going to use that against us or hurt us. But as I always say, if you show up courageously, authentically, honestly, it's hard to have it used against you, because you're not asking for anything. You're standing on your ground and standing on your truth. Number two, Ash says, be direct. You say it, you rip off the Band-Aid. If you know that you are gay, just say it. If you tell your parents you might be gay, they will hold that hope that this will change. Do not give up. Do not give them that false sense of hope. Again, I think listening to this idea from Ash about how to come out effectively or authentically, I think it can give us some wisdom as parents or family members if somebody comes out, that they might be dipping their toe in the water, right? Testing the temperature to see if it's safe. And so we, on the receiving end, can be aware of that and hold space for them, or be patient, right? Practice some of the concepts, the ideas, the tools that I'm going to talk about tonight to make it safe for them to get all the way in the pool. And number three, Ash says, and most important, be unapologetic. You are speaking your truth. Never apologize for that. And some folks might have gotten hurt along the way. So sure, apologize for what you've done. I love the distinction. Not for who you are, not for your truth, but along the way, you may have hurt some people. But never apologize for who you are, she goes on to say. And yeah, some folks may be disappointed, but that's on them, not on you. Those are their expectations of who you are, not yours. That is their story, not yours. The only story that matters is the one that you want to write. And so at Evoke Therapy Programs, we are passionate, proactive, and committed to supporting all LGBTQ individuals, clients in our program, family members. And I want to say this, again, back to that point I made at the top of the broadcast. Early in my career, while I thought I was being judgmental, while I thought I was being supportive, I made a lot of the mistakes that people make in holding space for people. So again, from the perspective of the person coming out, Ash goes on to say, so the next time you find yourself in a pitch black closet clutching your grenade, know that we've all been there before, and you may feel so alone, but you are not. And we know it's hard, but we need you out here, no matter what your walls are made of, because I guarantee you that there are others peering through the keyhole of their closets looking for the next brave soul to bust the door open and be that person and show the world that we are bigger than our closets, and that a closet is no place for a person to live. I think about the idea that parents share with me all the time about coming out of the closet, that their family is struggling. You know, sometimes parents will maybe honestly and authentically and sometimes hide behind the idea that I want to protect my child and their struggle. That's something you have to work out with your Evoke therapist, with your therapist at home, and with your child. However, in many cases, that still feels to the child like shame, like your shame. Because there's nothing to be ashamed of when it comes to depression, anxiety, substance abuse. And so think about closets in terms of how transparent you are with friends and family. Not because I want to judge that, but because it can invite you to be empathic. So many families have shared with me, so many parents have shared with me over the years, how difficult it is for them to walk in an Al-Anon meeting or a CODA meeting or an AA meeting for that matter. And they share that they don't want to be seen, right? They don't want to be exposed in that way. So you know a little bit about what it means to come out of a closet. Now let's shift gears a little bit, turn the corner, and start talking about how we receive, deal with, support, and cope with our own losses in this process as family members. How you will receive them can make all the difference in the world, really in their world. And I want to be as clear about the next point that I'm going to make. How we receive them, how supportive we are of them. And I'm not talking about a stumble or a mistake at the initial coming out. I'm talking about the big picture, being supportive of them, even if you need help and support and say the wrong thing initially. How you receive them is the difference in many cases between life and death. And it's not a small number. It's not tangential. And if it's not the difference between literal, absolute life and death, it can almost certainly be the difference between the quality of life and other symptoms that come along with it. So when I've worked with families that have dealt with children that are coming out, these are some of the things that I've heard, some of the things that I even have thought in my life. Some not, of course. But one of them, the most common one, the oldest one, is parents say it's wrong because of the culture they grew up in. Sometimes it's a religious orientation. Sometimes it's within your family. It's this idea that it's wrong, right? That's the oldest one that I've heard. This idea that parents believe they know more than the child knows, right? I know what's right for you. I know who you are. I know your story. I know your truth. Something my therapist has said to me over the decades that I've worked with her, in regards to my family, to my relationships, she's emphasized, you don't know somebody else's truth. And so that's a place where we stumble. Parents will say, well, they don't know who they are yet. I heard one client address this brilliantly with his parents. He had come out as gay with his parents. And I've heard this dialogue dozens of times. Heard this response dozens of times. And the parents said, well, you're 16 years old. A lot of children kind of experiment with the idea of being gay. You don't really know who you are. And they're borrowing some truth from identity development and offering it to the child. And the child responded and said, that feels so judgmental. It feels like you don't accept me. And the father and the mother said, well, we're saying if that's what you end up being, it's fine, but you don't know who you are. And the child said this. He said this to his parents. He said, if I had come to you and said I was heterosexual, or think of transgender situations, I was the gender that I was assigned at birth. If I'd come to you and said that I was a straight person, you never would have said to me, well, you don't really know who you are as maybe who you are yet. Maybe someday you'll find out that you're gay or bisexual or transgender. Right? And I was blown away by this truth that this 16-year-old boy was sharing with his parents. This idea that he could filter through what was said that seemingly seemed neutral, but really felt erasing to him. Parents will respond with this idea that it's their role to teach and to model and to reinforce morality, that this is a choice. And these are my standards, my belief, my truth, and it's my job to impose those on you to some degree. Of course, just a more raw experience is being uncomfortable and afraid of the unknown, not knowing how to deal with it. I think that can be one of the most honest and workable places, for sure. You are worried how people will treat them. That's something I would say to clients in years past. And it's such a mistake. Again, subtly dismissing. a related response is, I'm just worried because your life is going to be more difficult, right? There's a lot of bias and bullying and prejudice still in this world, and I want to protect you from that. Again, seemingly coming from a loving place, a supporting place, but to the person coming out, this feels like a lack of support, and that you're hiding behind those concerns and worries. And then the loss of your dreams, right? The loss of your dreams of what family was supposed to look like. If it's a transgender, the loss of things that you associate with a certain gender. If it's about sexual orientation, the loss of what traditional life might look like, supposed to look like. So those are typical responses. I had somebody come to me years ago and say, well, my priest, my rabbi, my pastor, can't remember which it was, but I've heard this many times, you know, my church tells me this or says this. This is the right thing, this is the wrong thing in this area. And how would you respond to them? And I struggled with that. And what I learned was, what I came to realize was, I don't have to respond to a priest or a rabbi or a pastor or a church. I'm a therapist. That's my paradigm. That's my model. I've studied the science of human behavior and human beings and the human psyche. And so I have a different, I can empathize, I can understand, I can hold space for that. But my answer comes from a different place, not from a theology. It comes from science. And that's my reference point. I'm going to talk a little bit tonight about practically, like, the effects of accepting or not accepting. There's been a fantastic movement in Utah based on the lead singer of a rock band named Imagine Dragons. Some of you may have heard of it. His name is Dan Reynolds, and he's created a concert here in Utah called Love Loud, where Dan is Mormon, and he's trying to educate the community and the culture and kind of build this groundswell of support. And part of his message is constantly is, if we don't support our youth, the risk of suicide increases exponentially. And the risk of suicide among young people is already high, but for LGBTQ youth, it's even higher. And in a community or in a family where they're not supported, it rises dramatically. Utah has one of the highest rates of LGBTQ suicide, and it's increased in the last 4 years, partly because of the Mormon churches coming out, or at least it's correlated with that. Well, this idea of holding children lightly means, it's almost as if I've heard therapists even in our program say, well, I'm trying to figure out, you know, are they gay? Are they bisexual? Are they transgender? Are they non-binary? What category do they fit in? And when I'm coaching therapists, I say, just take a step back. You don't have to figure it out. It's theirs to figure it out. It's your job to be a safe person, to not have an agenda in it. The therapists sometimes feel like they have to solve this equation. That's not your job. Similar to a parent, your job is to provide space. My child came out in sort of two different steps, right? Which is not uncommon. And so what I learned that I had to do is I had to hold them lightly in such a way to understand that I have to get rid of the construct of sexuality, of gender that I grew up with, that I was taught. And I have to get to a place where it's almost as if they're telling me their favorite color is purple today and the next day it's red, because they are discovering their true authentic self. And they might not know it all, but I become unattached to the outcome, to the finality of it, and just support their journey where they're at. And not just support it, but celebrate it. I want to emphasize that. It's got to be celebrated for it to have the kind of positive effect, positive support that we want it to have. Relate to them. Like I said earlier, you don't know their truth, their journey. Relate to them if possible. If you can relate to your your truth and how hard it is to express your closet. When I'm working with LGBTQ youth or families or individuals, I don't have that personal experience of coming out myself, but I can absolutely relate to the difficulty it is to discover oneself when the pressure is to fit somebody else's idea about what I should be. Sexuality is a construct, this idea that in our culture at this time, we have ideas about what's the right thing, what's normal. And that's not in terms of time or even across the globe. Is it an absolute, a truth? I went to a couple of resources. I want to share with you some statistics that underscore some of the things that I'm talking about and teaching about tonight. From the Trevor Project, I borrowed these facts. Suicide is the second leading cause of death among young people ages 10 to 24. LGBT youth seriously contemplate suicide at almost 3 times the rate of heterosexual youth. LGBT youth are almost 5 times as likely to have attempted suicide compared to heterosexual youth. Of all the suicide attempts made by youth, LGBT youth suicide attempts are almost 5 times as likely to require medical treatment than those of heterosexual youth. So not only do they try it, but they make a more serious attempt. Suicide attempts by LGBT youth are questioning youth are 4 to 6 times more likely to result in injury, poisoning, or overdose that requires treatment from a doctor or nurse compared to their straight peers. In a national study, 40% of transgender adults reported having made a suicide attempt. 92% of these individuals reported having attempted suicide before the age of 25. And then this point, which might be the most important point of all these statistics. LGBT youth who come from highly rejecting families are 8.4 times as likely to have attempted suicide as LGBT peers who have reported no or low levels of family rejection. 8.4 times. If you want to go, there's a documentary on that story of Dan Reynolds, the lead singer of Imagine Dragons, in the concert in Utah. It just came out. There's a documentary on it called Believer. And that's his point. We're going to lose them. We're going to lose them if we can't find a way to support and celebrate who they are. 1 out of 6 students nationwide, grades 9 to 12, seriously considered suicide in the past year. This comes from the Center for Disease Control. So this is not some tangential idea, but these concepts come from that. Positive parenting practices, they say, such as having honest and open conversations, can help reduce teen health risk behaviors. How parents engage with their LGBT teen can have a tremendous impact on their adolescent's current and future mental and physical health. Supportive and accepting parents can help youth cope with the challenges of being an LGBT teen. On the other hand, unsupportive parents who react negatively to learning that their daughter or son is LGBT can make it harder for the teen to thrive. Parental rejection has been linked to depression, use of alcohol and drugs, and risky sexual behavior among teens. To go on, the CDC says, to be supportive, parents should talk openly and supportive with their teen about any problems or concerns. It's also important for parents to watch for behaviors that might indicate that their teen is a victim of bullying or violence, or that their teen may be victimizing others. If bullying, violence, or depression is suspected, parents should take immediate action, working with school personnel and other adults in the community. Each episode of LGBT victimization, such as physical or verbal harassment or abuse, increases the likelihood of self-harming behavior by 2.5 times on average. This is from the Center for Disease Control in the United States. Very objective stuff, very powerful of stuff. According to the CDC, research suggests that LGBT teens experience better health outcomes when their parents support their sexual orientation in positive and affirming ways, compared to teens who do not feel valued by their parents. LGBT youth who feel valued by their parents are less likely to experience depression, suicide, drugs and alcohol, become infected with sexually transmitted diseases. So that's the message. And I want to say this, and maybe this is the most important and relevant of all. Get help, get support. Even for myself, who on paper I was prepared for it. On paper I was open to it. I had already embraced and celebrated supporting LGBTQ youth and becoming an activist in the area. When it came to my own home, I stumbled. It's not how I saw it. It didn't make sense to me. It didn't fit my idea. So I hope that that empathy can help you be easy on yourself and subsequently seek help, support, and education. I have a slide here, if you're watching the broadcast, that talks about other resources. Go to the CDC for more information. AdvocatesForYouth.org is another place to go. You can go to the American Psychological Association and study about what science is saying about LGBTQ individuals. The Family Acceptance Project is another place you can go. It's familyproject.sfsu.edu. The Gender Spectrum Education and Training, you can go to genderspectrum.org. And then finally, PFLAG, Parents, Families, and Friends of Lesbians and Gays, www.pflag.org is a place that you can go. So the take home is hard is hard. Hard is hard. And if you can connect to or relate to your child, do. It's a sign of mental health to see the similarities in others who struggle, even when on the surface or the content of their struggle varies greatly from yours. Understanding that mental health is absolutely genetically influenced, right? It's organically influenced. But also the context makes a big difference. And that's the thing that you have the most control over. The context, the response, how you hold them, how you see them, how you celebrate them, or whether you reject them. It's really an expansive process, right? Expanding yourself. It's something that I've gone through the growing pains, our society's gone through the growing pains, and then those who have experienced in their life, who have allowed themselves to expand, have talked about how wonderful and amazing it is. Listen, ask questions of your LGBTQ child. Get support and resources. If it's new to you, if it's a struggle, if it's outside your paradigm, find others who've been farther down the road than you. Find others that can help you. It's not okay to respond with, "I think it is wrong." It's okay for you, but I want you to know I think it's wrong. That's not okay. It's not okay to say, "We love you even though you are gay." There's subtle discounting language in that. And ultimately, the bottom line is, anything less than celebrating their courage for finding and expressing their authentic self can be and is interpreted in many cases as hate or rejection. You don't experience it like that when you're on the receiving end, right? It doesn't feel like that to you, but that's what it feels like to those individuals who are experiencing this awakening of self and taking this courageous step to come out. All right, I'm happy to take any questions live right now that are on the topic. If there are none that are live, I'm happy to go through the announcements, and then there'll be a slide at the end where I can take more questions. Looks like there are no questions, so let me get to some announcements. We want all family members to go to 12-step support group meetings. Some combination, any combination of Al-Anon, CODA, or Families Anonymous, you can go to their websites and find more information there. You can also go to NAMI.org to find free classes and resources or affordable classes and resources in your area. All of these broadcasts are going to be available on the podcast app. On your iPhone, use the podcast app and search Evoke Therapy Programs. On Android devices or on a computer, download the SoundCloud app or go to soundcloud.com and search Evoke Therapy Programs. On Twitter and Instagram, we're available. You can find us at Evoke Therapy. On Facebook, search Evoke Therapy Programs. And if you want to become involved in or learn about an organization created by parents who are alumni of Evoke Therapy Programs, find the Evoke Family Foundation on Facebook. And you can become involved, you can donate. They're constantly helping people who can't afford and otherwise will not get the kind of help that is offered at Evoke and programs like it. And then, of course, go to our blog, our Evoke Therapy blog, for updated new content each week. My book, The Journey of the Heroic Parent, is available on Amazon. Also, audio versions are available there. The next workshop, actually, the next workshop will be September 22nd and 23rd at Cascades. So contact Gail at evoketherapy.com for more information or to RSVP. Talk to your therapist at Evoke Entrada or Cascades and talk to them about this. We would like all parents to come to this if possible. And if it's at the site where your child is, you can combine it with a visit. Coming up intensives, the next intensive is October 17th through 21st, the next Finding You. Private, customized couples or family intensives are also available. Email intensives at evoketherapy.com. The next parent support group is in Los Angeles, Sunday, August 26th. And then in the Bay Area the next night, August 27th, Monday. And then I'll be back in New York City, Monday, September 10th. Email Melanie at evoketherapy.com to RSVP or for more information. Pursuits programs are high adventure trips, recreational trips, where we combine some therapy. So think customized 7 to 14 day trips all around the world, therapy light, sober fun, kind of a refresher. All right, any other questions have come in? One parent says, I feel like I was calm and fine with my child coming out, but nonetheless, she was hostile and defensive about the announcement. I have numerous close friends who are gay. No reason for my daughter to think that I'd reject her announcement. Yeah, if you watch that coming out story of Ash Beckham, I would encourage you to go to that on TED Talk. Because she talks about how she, for years, was armored and ready for everybody. So some of it might be about you, some of it might not. So the one thing I would correct is the comment where you say, no reason for my daughter to think I'd reject her announcement. She has her story. She has her reason. It might not make sense to you. It might not line up with the facts or with the history or with your position on LGBTQ issues. But somewhere she found the reason to guard herself with this kind of, as Ash Beckham says, this kind of militant kind of presentation. So I don't think that's uncommon at all. It's a scary, scary moment. And we're still not in a place in our society, in our history, in our culture, where I think a lot of LGBTQ youth are expecting that anybody might not struggle with this, right? There's a, even if it's not parents, there still might be this struggle. So thank you for sharing that. All right, no further comments or questions. We can wrap it up. I hope it's helpful. I hope it's a helpful point of contact. If you're listening to this or watching this recorded, and this is something that you think you're on the precipice of as a family or that you're going through, I hope it's a helpful reference point for you. I haven't come up with a topic for this Thursday, August 16th at 7 p.m., but I will be talking to you then. I'll come up with a topic in the morning. Have a great night. I hope this point of contact is helpful. Take care. Thank you for it on behalf of your children, for being willing to do your work, look at yourself, be open to your participation in all of this. Take care. Bye-bye. No time.